With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
This is the View from the Bridge, official podcast of the Belfast Giants for kingdomofthegiants.com. Today's Tuesday, the 9th of November, 2021. My name's Patrick Smith. Welcome to the show, guys. Another podcast. Inconsistency reigns supreme as the Giants take half the points from the weekend, but there's a fair bit to discuss on this week's show. We'll be talking about that disaster in Yorkshire, the victory of the Clan. We'll be giving you the player of the month result. We'll be having a chat and asking your TFA questions to the head coach, Adam Keefe. And we hope to be joined also by the head coach of the Dundee Stars, Omar Pasha. Now, if you're watching on YouTube, you can see that there's just two of us, myself and Mr. McGimsey. How are you?
I'm not too bad. Thanks, mate.
Good to see you. Unfortunately, first of all, Mr. Kitchen is feeling unwell. We send our best wishes to him this time. Hopefully, get well soon, mate, and hopefully you can come back and join us as soon as possible. And also, Mr. Neil is in hiding, or apparently he's on other business at the Crown Plaza, this or whatever. So I thought, you know, we can bring in another lad. And we've got a mate who's, since he left the podcast, has been a bit down on his luck. His career went on a downhill spiral after leaving the View from the Bridge. And, you know, the jobs after that just didn't match up to the one he had here recently. He's tried to get himself back into the hockey community, and at the weekend he got himself back onto Giants TV. Please welcome none other than television's Neil the Coach Russell.
Evening, gentlemen. How are we doing? Hold on.
That intro, Paddy. You should be better than that, mate. What we heard was this.
Good evening, everybody, from the SSE Arena here in Belfast.
That's not what we wanted. What we wanted was this.
Good evening, hockey fans. We're at the fabulous Odyssey Arena in Belfast.
Come on, what's your excuse?
Apologies, boys. You know what? got roped in Sunday evening. Couldn't believe it. Flew in Sunday afternoon. Sizz had asked me during the week if I would go on co-coms with him, which I was semi-reluctant to do in the first place, but said, yep, no problem. Then got a phone call to say he was on the IR. So would I mind stepping up and taking over the comms? It's been, must be nearly seven and a bit years since I last did the webcast or Premier Sports in that capacity. And it was actually, I'll be honest, boys, it was actually a bit nervous. And I, you know me, like, I'm not exactly a nervous type. Long time since I picked up the mic in that regard. And whilst I still watch all the Belfast Giants games home and away, still with the Storm as well, home and away, iPad for the Storm, TV for the Giants, and you do get a feel for the players and all the rest, I'm not as in it as I was previously. So I was semi-nervous stepping up on Sunday evening. Kept calling, and I don't know why I just didn't call them the Clan. Kept calling them the Brayhead Clan.
Kept calling the Brayhead Clan, man.
It was an absolute gong show in that regard. But I did it as well on one of on one of the goals as well, one of the calls for the goals. But delighted to get the old school, the old band back together here. It's been a few years, and it's an interesting weekend for us to discuss this evening.
The North American accent is absolutely outstanding, Paddy.
It's kicking in, isn't it?
Yeah.
Wow.
It's like,
I'm getting abuse from all my years.
I've been over here 17 years. He's been over here 17 minutes. What's that accent all about?
I'm getting abused about it all the time. I've obviously no idea. It must be. What do you always call it? Little iterations? I think it is.
No. You've definitely got an accent. No doubt. No doubt about it. You've got it. it could be from your Storm time and hanging about with North Americans, whatever. You have.
Don't. You two lining me up for something here?
No. I don't know if Paddy's got another keyboard there, but I'm telling you, you've got lots of North American drawl in your voice now.
Wow. I must be speaking to Omar Pasha every 2 minutes.
But you, and, you've also got darker hair than you used to have. And yeah. So,
the hair is exactly the same. I'm a bit bronzed up. I was in Dubai there. I got back about 6 weeks ago.
Dubai tanning, I'll bring them.
Before Todd Kelman jumps in and says, I've been on the sunbeds again, I haven't.
And on that note, boys, let's get stuck into the game, shall we? Unfortunately, we're going to start with the game that took place in Sheffield at the weekend, and it was a 7-1 victory for the Sheffield Steelers. Goals coming from Evan Mosey, Anthony DeLuca, Valorand, Tanner Eberle, Schultz, Sointu, and rounded off by David Phillips. For the Giants, just a one goal. JJ Pickenich with a lovely finish, actually. In goal, Barry Bruce, 23 shots on, one goal against. And on our side, Tyler Beskarwani, 11 shots on, 5 goals against. He only lasted 20 minutes. Jackson Whistle came in after 20 minutes, played 40, 19 shots against, 2 goals against. Your refs are Matt Thompson and Tom Perring. Davey, I'll start with you. Bad night at the office.
Yeah, I'm trying to find... Sometimes you struggle to find some positivity as to what went on at the weekend. And I guess Joel has spoken a couple of times over the last couple of weeks about momentum being key in hockey and that chance that Goodwin has, maybe only 20, 25 seconds gone in the game and he's missed an open net. So it's lovely feed across and he's missed it. And those things, there's such fine margins in this league at the minute, although the game blew out the 7-1, you know, scoreline. Those fine things that the game swings on, the Giants go one up, it's a bit of a different game. They go down the ice, okay, we'll get back into one each with a lovely Pickenich goal. But the gap that opened up, actually 5-on-5 across the game in terms of chances created, in terms of shots on. We lost the game in the first period. We couldn't win a face-off. We couldn't get control of the puck, and our own D-zone coverage just wasn't good enough. You know, if I go back and I look through the stats pack, I start kind of, predicted goals for the Steelers against predicted goals from the Giants is like 2.8 versus 2.2. So it should have been a closer game. What we gave up in that first period gave us too much of a mountain to climb. And I'm sure Besko will look back at a couple of the goals that were against them. And, you know, we talk about bus legs for players all over the ice. You know, sometimes a goalie takes a wee bit of time to get warmed up and he didn't get the chance to feel himself into the game. Some quality shots coming in on him early and he got handcuffed on a couple of them and the Steelers took a lead. And we never really looked like getting back into it too much, bar, you know, we rattled the post here and there. Bruss didn't have that much to deal with, but not a good night at the office. I think we'll go back to the drawing board defensively on that one and think we could have done a whole lot of things a lot better.
Davey, cool. Just to jump, sorry, Paddy, doing my usual, jumping in, apologies, but picking up on something that Davey said there, because I think it was symptomatic on Sunday as well. And you're the stats man with all the face-offs, but the Giants didn't appear anyway, certainly from what Dicko and I saw on Sunday, weren't great in the circle again on the draws. And you called it out there in Sheffield as well. I mean, what do you put that down to? Because from the games that I've seen so far this season, Jan's been pretty dominant in the circle.
We haven't actually. We've been fairly a little bit behind the eight ball in circle. Actually on Saturday night, the Steelers game, yeah. It was actually 50-50 across the night. It was 25 face-offs each. But I think our first period, 13-6, we just didn't get control of the puck in the first period at all. Even strength, Giants were slightly better, actually, in the face-off circle. So that's what I'm saying, that actually 5-on-5, there was two killer power plays against us, two penalty kills that we didn't kill, and they've got goals and stretched on out that lead. But in terms of face-offs, it's where we're losing them on the ice. What times in the game we're losing them and what zones, you know, defensive zones, we could have done a wee bit better. But yeah, first period, it was 13-6 the Steelers, and that's a lot of possession.
What about on Sunday? Were they totally
we'll come on to it because I've just got the Steelers game open at the minute. I'll close it and open the other one.
Davey brought it up there, Coach. You know, the early chance for David Goodwin, about 20 seconds in on that first shift, it goes to the back post. He's got the gaping cage and he doesn't hit it. It goes wide. And in these small margins, a jump like that could have really altered the game.
I really don't want to sound like Simon Kitchen here, but I was chatting to Thorch during the... thank you. There it is. I was chatting to Thorch at the end of the first or second period on Sunday. And we're just talking about the game in Sheffield from the previous day. And he called it out, as did Davey there. And I think we all would have called it out. If that chance goes in early doors, it just all of a sudden silences that big crowd in Sheffield again. It gives us that early momentum on the road. All of a sudden, things like bus legs and or whatever kind of goes out the window instantaneously, and we have got momentum, got them on the back foot in their home barn, et cetera, et cetera. Small margins in sport. I just thought overall, I mean, to Davey's point, building off that, that first period, I honestly struggle to remember us capitulating like that. And I'm sure there have been, and there will be multiple examples if I really engage my brain on it. Go ahead, David.
I jump in there. A question says, ask me, we conceded 5 goals in the first period. And I went back through my stats for the last 10, 12 years. And I couldn't find anything in the last dozen years where we've conceded 5 goals, let alone in the first period.
Interesting, the thing that came into my head whenever I was watching that game, you boys probably remember it, you've been following the team for as long as I have. I think in that very first season, we went into Sheffield, and I think Ferrone ended up fighting Rick Brabant down in the corner towards the end of the game. We got pummeled 7 or 8-1 in Sheffield. And that was the last time that I remember. There will be other games where we've been blown out. But we, in that first period, we completely capitulated our defensive zone coverage. Besko, to Davey's point, will look back on that and have nightmares for sure. But I think the decor should also look back and have nightmares. I'm sure we'll go on into a bit more depth, kind of talking more broadly about the team and all the rest. The thing, because Paddy and I, you and I were in Manchester, mate, weren't we, a couple of weeks ago? We've all seen all of the games. I think I look at this team, and on paper, and you win nothing on paper, as Davey always says, but I look at this team on paper, and I'll nail my flag to the mast here. I still think the Belfast Giants are, one, the best team in the league, and two, I think we will win the Elite League. There we go. Not really an early season prediction, but I just think we're a fantastic team. That said, the one thing that worries me about this team, the one thing, probably the only thing, to be brutally honest, there have been opportunities to show a bit of grit and a bit of character, and that there was a lack of character there in Sheffield again. Paddy, you and I were going apoplectic. We thought that there was an opportune moment for a fight in Manchester whenever the chips were down. We needed to gain a bit of momentum. We always talk fighting is kind of dripping away, and probably more than dripping, pouring away out of the game in many ways, but it's still a part of the game. And there are opportunities for you to lay big hits. And it's not always fighting in hockey is not always about winning. It's about turning up. It's about showing up. Gaining that kind of momentum again for your team, or energizing your team in a barn, or sucking the air out of a barn as well. And that is the only thing. That first period performance in Sheffield was absolutely horrific. We literally capitulated, and that was a worrying thing. And nobody at any stage that kind of 2-3-1 down thought, you know, we need a big energy shift. Us three boys on our WhatsApp group, we're all sharing, weren't we? You two boys followed the Red Wings. That shift, the third or fourth line. I mean, one of the most unbelievable shifts you'll ever see in hockey. People appreciate, fans, all they want to see is their team working hard, blocking shots, putting in hits, anything and everything to kind of win for the team. And that would be the only thing that I've picked out on so far this season. All the skills to pay the bills, do we have the... Do we have the character to do something different whenever we need to?
I spoke about it on the podcast for 2 or 3 weeks now, because I've been watching is it All or Nothing?
Yeah.
Is that what it's called? On the Maple Leafs. And despite being a Wings fan, it's actually a real hockey, guys. It's a brilliant watch. And the first round of the playoffs, when Tavares takes the nasty knee from Corey Perry. Completely innocent play. And next face-off,
Nick Faleau has to go in.
That was my captain, and he got interviewed after the game, and he says, I think it was, why did you go? And he says, he's a big boy. He knew he had the answer at Bell. That's my captain on the floor.
Yeah.
And I agree with you. Roop got himself, you know, got through out of the game, 2+2+10 with a couple of minutes to go at 7-1. That's
James
not that's not the time. You know, what you're saying is a 3-1 down, maybe when the coaches call a timeout because we're conceding rapid goals one after the other, you know, that's the time for someone. And you're maybe right, and the game is changing, that's one thing, but it hasn't changed that much. There's other teams in this league that have that sandpaper, that maybe we're relying on Jordan Boucher But, you know, if you talked about Bush the other night being a bit like a Daryl Lloyd, and Daryl Lloyd had his wingman, you know, at all times, and I don't know where his wingman is at the minute. You know, if he does start something, we're maybe not built that. And we maybe built thinking that Roop was going to be a little more physical than he is. We maybe thought that Reinhardt, you know, just I know Reinhardt's never been that type of player, but coming into this league, he's 6 foot whatever, plus 215, 220, probably plus gigantic man. You know, these are men mountains. They're giants. We talked about it early in the season. The biggest Giants team ever assembled, the fastest Giants team, the youngest Giants team, but it needs that wee bit of...
100% needs sandpaper.
What I want to quickly, we're going to hear from both coaches on the night in just a second. I just got 2 points I want to just quickly cover. One, 11 shots, Davey, 5 goals against on Besko. Is it just one of those nights, or is there a cause for concern there?
Oh, I'm sure if you analyse the video again, there'll be things that, and Ron Shudra was talking about different little telltale signs, and he was searching for the pocket times. There was one thing the Sheffield Steelers did very, very well. They got traffic in front of Besko. They got traffic in front of him. Besko's maybe conceded a few from that left circle that he would like back over a number of games. And we talked maybe just about a bit of a slow start, and we got caught out a little bit cold. Far from me to analyse a goaltender of Tyler Bescarani's, but yeah, video analytics would suggest that there's a couple of little telltales there, and Stevie Thompson will go and he'll send me through the analytics on it. But cause for concern, probably not at this stage of the season. It's very, very early doors. I think we're 3-3 in the league. We've gone to Cardiff. Probably should have won that night. We've won in Coventry. We've won 5-0 in Nottingham. We've got absolutely blown away, to be fair, in Sheffield. And they're the kind of games, you know, you throw the puck in the bin. I remember you saying this about a game, and it might have been Edinburgh the first time I heard you using that terminology in the podcast. But, you know, there's sometimes you just have to, it's not even tipping your cap to the opposition, because I don't think the Sheffield Steelers had to be particularly brilliant to beat us. Sometimes you just have to say that's a night that we'll not look back on with any great fondness and move on. And we did on in the Sunday, maybe not with the performance that we wanted, but we did okay. And, you know, got 2 points on the board, and you kind of have to forget about Saturday now. Look forward to going back to Sheffield, the right or wrong.
I'll come to you now, Coach, just, but I'm also going to throw in there that Elite League Twitter is losing its mind over the hit from Barry Brust. You know, is it worth talking? Well, I know your head's up there, Dave. You want to make a comment on as well. But, Coach, between that and Besko, you know, what are your thoughts?
I think regarding Besko, I think it's fair to say, he'll definitely want a few of those goals back on Saturday. Has he started the season in the way in which we saw him in that, whatever it was now, 1920 season? No, probably not. Probably just slightly below that standard. That said, I mean, right here, right now, would you swap him for anyone else in the league? I have to say, I love CJ Martin, Coventry. I think he's a superb goaltender. I think Matt Ginn is coming into a really good form. And I think if you were to put Ginn or a Mott into our team, would they do well? Yes, I think they would. But I think if you're hedging your bets over the course of an entire Elite League season, playoffs, etc., for me, you wouldn't even contemplate swapping any of Bescarwani for any of those other goaltenders. I think class is permanent and all the rest. He will come good. He's an absolutely top-class netminder. We saw it in that 1920 season where he was just out of this world good. And he'll have no concerns, and I don't think Adam or any of the Thorts and all the rest will have any concerns in that regard either. Regarding the Barry Brust hit, I thought it was great, to be perfectly honest with you. I know people maybe say it's a one-way street in the sense that he can do that to the outskaters and nobody can lay a finger on him, whatever. But I think it's the first time I've ever seen that, and certainly in the Elite League. I mean, he probably checked him into the boards, which drew quite a few chuckles from the players who were on the ice and saw it. I personally have no objections to it whatsoever.
It's a funny, like, I remember having this argument with a man we'll be speaking to you later in Omar Pasha about it being a one-way street, and you just don't touch the goalie. I'm still of the opinion if the goalie's going to go walkabout, he's got a protected area. If he's going to go walkabout, that's his choice. David?
Within the rules of the game, you can make contact with a goaltender as long as it doesn't break a few other little interference rules. So, you know, if the goalie's out there, you can hit him, be prepared to face the consequences of the D-man who will hit you too. Brust just waits ever so slightly. Brust could probably, he's waiting for it to come around in the trapezoid, but he's also waiting for, I can't even remember who was he checked. I can't remember, it might have been Kreider or Soy. And he waited for him and he's just getting ahead on him. If anything, there's a fraction of interference because the Giant keeps his. I think does he take a penalty on it?
I can't remember.
I think he did.
And it's so borderline. I don't think it's, I think it's play on. I really don't think there's anything in it. I think it's fair enough if the goalie wants to come out there, make contact. But as you said, if he gets a wee nudge later in the season, then he can't be complaining too much either. Mm-hmm.
Let's hear from the two coaches on the night, Aaron Fox and Jeff Mason.
Yeah, that was a fun night. You know, me as a coach, that was a fun one to watch tonight. Not what I expected before puck drop tonight, that's for sure. You know, we're running thin bodies and boys have answered the bell here lately. You know, I feel like ever since we had a few guys go down his injury, I feel like our game's tightened up. Our energy's been there for full 60. You know, guys are dialed in. Tonight, I think we got pucks behind their D. We made them defend. We spread them out, you know, going low to high, getting some traffic in front of Esco there. We got a couple good bounces early and built some confidence. And, you know, anytime you score five in a period, it's a pretty good start.
No, absolutely. I think we had a couple good chances. I think we missed an open net there on the first shift and then it kind of went south. You know, tip my hat to the Steelers. They came out, they played hard, they finished on their chances early. And, you know, certainly when you go down 5-1 in the first period, it's a real tough hill to climb.
You changed goalies in the second period, and Jackson shut the door, didn't he, for a long time?
Yeah, he was our best player there in the second period, and he really kept us in it for a while. And, you know, I felt really bad for him there, unlucky at the end. One goes in off ourselves, and then, you know, the late one from David Phillips. So, you know, not a great effort from us. You know, I give the Steelers credit. They out-competed us. They out-battled us. They out-executed us. That said, though, tomorrow's a new day for us, and we just got to come back hard.
Thanks to the Elite League for those. The highlights of the, if you want to watch them, they're 25 minutes long from Steelers TV on YouTube. If you've got 25 minutes to spend and watching the Giants getting tanked in Sheffield, fair play to you. You can go and find them, Steelers TV on YouTube. We're going to move on to the game on Sunday.
Good evening, everybody, from the SSE Arena here in Belfast.
Yep, coach was behind the mic as the Belfast Giants took on the Glasgow Clan. A 3-2 victory for your Belfast Giants. The Giants goal, an early one from Scott Conway, shorthanded. Jordan Boucher getting one in a power play goal, an actual power play goal scored in the third period. And Lewis Hook rounding out the scoring with a game-winning goal of 57-06. So the Glasgow Clan, Mateo Wah with a shorthanded goal in the second period. And Dyson Stevenson levelled things up at 2-2 at 52-26 in the third. Tyler Beskerwani back in nets, 21 shots against, 2 goals against. The other side, our first sight of Shane Starrett, 35 shots against, 3 goals against. Your two referees were Tom Perring and Stefan Hogarth. Coach, Giants needed a response, and needed a response quickly. There was a beautiful shorthanded goal from Conway, well worked, right up the ice, lovely finish. It looked like a great start to a great response.
Yeah, it did. It did, and the, you know, to your point, on the back of Saturday, Coach Keith, Thorts, everybody within the organization, the fan base, were expecting a big, big reaction. I think it was a strange game in some ways. I think, to your point, Scott Conway got us flying nice and early. A great shorthanded goal, fantastic goal. But I think, you know, Glasgow had a lot of energy. Dicko and I kept referencing it throughout the course of the game. You know, obviously their first competitive league game out together as a new squad, in essence. What a finish that is from Conway. We just struggled across the 60 to really get any kind of fluency in our game whatsoever. Name me one Sunday classic in Belfast. I mean, you know, I've made reference to it on commentary as well. Just thought, you know, maybe 3,500 people inside the SSC arena on a Sunday afternoon, which is, you know, a very respectable crowd for sure. But just there was a lack of energy in the building. And, you know, I often think in those types of on those types of days. It's up to the team to kind of galvanize. The fans are always there to kind of help the team, but sometimes think like the team could do. I'm sorry, I'm watching all these highlights here. It's distracting me.
If you're watching on YouTube, there are highlights.
Yeah. Apologies. I just thought that we were a bit lackluster and we lacked that fluency in our game. We've seen the fluency as the frustrating thing in the early part of the season. We saw this team kind of tic-tac-toe, like so early as well, like right on top of things. And think, listen, you've got to give credit to, I thought the Clan have found a good goaltender in Starrett. Thought he pulled off a couple of absolutely superb saves. The rock solid rebound control was really strong throughout the course of the 60 minutes. I think they picked up some good players as well. There, like I really liked Dicko and I both liked that. It's a Bookaboom. I'm not sure how to pronounce it. Thought he was looked really really strong on the back end for the Clan as well. But yeah, I think Coach Keefe will be very happy to skate away with the 2 points in regulation. That's all that matters. Just as Davey often says in the podcast, chalk it off. It's in the history books and you pick up the 2 points and you move on. But I think on the back of Sunday, Thorpe, Kiefer, Stewie, Mace, etc. will have been expecting a bigger reaction on home ice than probably what they got in the end.
Davey?
I agree to an extent and I disagree to an extent. I think that we probably did okay in terms of chances created. I'm just looking down numbers here. 83 shots in terms of target. How many shots do you think the Glasgow Clan blocked on Sunday, Coach?
12 to 15?
24. They led the body down. They came with energy. Certainly in the first half hour of the game, we had to compete hard to stay with them because they came with that first game adrenaline energy and they ran out of steam as well to an extent. Like Starrett was absolutely punctured at the end. The Giants were able in that last period, what do we have in the last period? 23 shots and nine that last period, 39 shots all told, on off block. We did okay. We just didn't execute. On another day there, the Belfast Giants probably run out 6 or 7 goals. I don't think that's an exaggeration, But we're just not executing once we get into that, we're not putting the goal, the game-winning goal. Lewis Hook skates in front of Starrett across his eyes, as you love, David Foley's eyes. D-to-D pass, which is making the goalie move east to west on a one-timer and a tip in front. It's not rocket science, and we need to repeat and execute because our power play is at 4% through 6 league games. And one power play goal from whatever that is, 4%. You work that out, Coach, over 25 chances anyway. If we want to analyze it, we're probably overcomplicating things a little bit on the power play in terms of, and I think it was Sizz that said it on Sunday night, we're trying to walk the puck in the nets at times. Sometimes you just have to be that, you just got to get it through. But, credit to the Clan and that. They tightened in around Starrett any chance we got across the blue line. Against the Nottingham Panthers, two weekends ago, we came out and we put the puck in deep and we went to work to get it back and get in front and get goals. And I was surprised whenever we came out against the Sheffield Steelers that we didn't. They did exactly the same as what we did to the Panthers. They put it in behind us and made us turn. I think we could do that more. If you've got that plan and you execute it and it works well, I don't know sometimes why we don't go back to the same plan, but it was, I thought we played reasonably well. And I think it was a word that Coach Keith might have used in his interview as well, execute. We just didn't execute when we were decent enough in the face of Saxey, 33-32, Coach, actually, to the Giants, slightly more than 50% of the Giants. But, I think that the big factor in the game was how well the Glasgow Clan played in front of Starrett. They just tightened in, boxed the Giants forwards out, made a shoot from outside, and Starrett is always going to save, as any of these coaches will, or any of these goalies will, 9-plus shots out of 10 from the outside. You've got to get inside, you've got to get the goalie to move, and you've got to have someone standing on top of his blue paint. It's the only way to beat these goalies.
The game itself appeared just to fizzle out a little bit. Obviously, they were trying to get, we're trying to get into the game. We're trying to get that sort of that go-ahead goal. Were we expecting too much from this game, Coach? Because obviously the Clan coming in, their first competitive game of the season, there are quite a few people who thought that the Giants were just going to turn up and walk this.
I didn't think the Giants were going to walk it. I think whenever you're up against a team that have their first outing of the season, there's a natural energy there and a vibrancy. Guys wanting to impress their own teammates as well as the opposition, and obviously their own fan base watching in on webcasts and such like. That said, I'll go back to what I said originally. I think over the course of 60 minutes, Coach Keefe will be happy to get away with the 2 points. But I think, you know, yes, we did create a lot of, you know, opportunities more so than Glasgow. But again, I just felt that we, over the course of the 60 minutes, we could have had a lot more energy. You know, Jeff Mason said the night before they were out battled and out worked in Sheffield. We matched Brayhead's, or sorry, Glasgow's work rate and intensity, but we should be better. I must have done that 100 times on webcast on Sunday. I was pissed off at myself. I think overall, over the course of the 60 minutes, we have a lot more in our locker than what we have displayed over the course of this weekend. That is for absolute certainty.
Well, that's the point I'm going to bring back to you, Davey, because you look at the scoring that took place in Sheffield from the Sheffield Steelers, and there were, you know, nobody scored more than one goal. If you know what I mean, there was no hat trick, there was no brace. It was shots and goals from forwards and D. You know, we seem to be getting a lot of goals, such as Boucher from Conway. You know, we're not seeing as much from Murphy. We're not seeing as much from Soy. You know, these guys are we still? We're still waiting for these guys to come in. Why are these guns not firing at the minute?
Good question. A little bit of chemistry definitely lacking here at the start of the season. Boys have got to. I remember years ago. Can't remember who you had on the podcast, but just talked about giving guys sort of 8-10 games to, you know, bed themselves in. You wouldn't throw anybody under a bus before they've had a good few games. And we're now at that stage of the season where, like, when you play for the Belfast Giants, and I'll come back to that, all or nothing. Is it Dubas? You call the GM?
Yeah, Dubas. Kyle Dubas.
Had Mitch Marner in, and he was going, you know, you're playing for the Toronto Maple Leafs. You're one of the top players in this league. You will come under criticism if you're not performing. And the Belfast Giants are, for us anyway, the biggest team in the league. They're always going to be one of those top teams in the league. And these players that we have assembled are in the top echelons of the best players in this league. So when they're not scoring goals, when they were brought in to score, you look at somebody you mentioned there, Tyler Soy, you go back through his resume. It's been goals galore as well. You know, okay, a young pro all the same. Probably expected goals. Darcy Murphy, we expected perhaps a slow start because that's traditionally what he's had. But, you know, we're 10 games in now. He's coming off a bit of an injury. These guys will come under criticism because of their CVs, what they've done in the past, and what we know their present ability should be. So it's hard to not be critical whenever we're getting that scoring from the good ones, the Pickenitches, Conway, obviously. But the depth of scoring just isn't really there at the minute. Are we getting enough looks? I'm not executing, and there's another question. You know, we over podcasts, I remember this over a number of years, we're a team that had nearly 90 shots on goal, off goal, blocked shots on Sunday. You've got to execute that into more than a scrappy 3-2 win with a couple of minutes on the clock. So what's happening? These guys are executing that on a Wednesday morning at the Ice Bowl or a Thursday morning at the Odyssey, wherever they're training. So when it comes to game time, why are we just that little bit shy? Because through the 8 games of the Challenge Cup, about 40 goals, 5 goals a game in the Challenge Cup. And when we come to league action, take the Coventry or the Nottingham Panthers game out of it, we're very shy on the goal front. So it'll be something Kiefer and Stewie and Mace and Besko will be putting their hair out about somebody needs a kickstart. We jumbled lines up at the weekend to try and get a few players going. Didn't happen. Paddy, it's not a question I can answer. Why is there no goals? Maybe Coach Callan.
Just really, really quick. I was thinking about this today, actually, about because looking at Darcy Murphy's stats and all the rest, and he's obviously another one, like, say, Besko in that 1920 season was stellar. Or was it 18-19 or 1920?
Stellar's getting there.
1920, okay. I mean, he was absolutely superb. I'll give you. I was thinking about like from a football comparative side of things. Kevin De Bruyne. Let's use Kevin De Bruyne as an example. One of, if not the best player in the world, right up there with Mo Salah at the minute. Kevin De Bruyne actually hasn't started this season very well for Man City. Hasn't played that well, but Man City are still winning games, and they're sat second in the league at the minute or whatever. But I actually think it's not a bad thing, because if City are winning games and De Bruyne is not playing well, and he is one of, if not the best player in the world, he will, class is permanent, and he will come into a league of his own at some stage. Ultimately, as David would often say, when the trophies are getting handed out, the best players come to the party. And I have no doubt at some stage in the near future or across this season, to your point as well, Paddy, around, like, it seems to be like Pickenich won, Conway won, Boucher won, et cetera, et cetera. There will be games when we go into Cardiff and Darcy Murphy will slap bang a hat-trick in. We'll go into Sheffield again and try and, you know, overcome what we faced on Saturday. Darcy Murphy will score a hat-trick. Tyler Shoy will get a hat-trick. And these guys will come to the park. Okay, Darcy Murphy's more of a longer history as a professional and all the rest than, say, Tyler Shoy. But Darcy Murphy has got extreme quality. We've seen it in this league. And he will, again, like Beskar Wani, maybe had a bit of a tough weekend, or certainly a tough Saturday, and maybe a couple of games where he might have wanted a few goals back. Darcy Murphy will come in to, I think it's fair to say, I know I've observed from a bit of a distance as well, just wondered, has he come in maybe a slightly injured, maybe a couple of LBs too heavy or whatever, and he's getting himself into the season, getting himself physically fit. He'll come good. Wouldn't worry about that in the slightest.
We're going to move it on. We've got Adam Keefe waiting in the wings before that. Belfast Giants TV for your highlights, of course, and with Mr. Russell and Mr. Dixon on commentary. Before we get to our chat with Adam Keefe, we'll just have a quick chat about the Player of the Month sponsored by Phonacab. We give you four options: Lewis Hook, Scott Conway, Jordan Boucher, and Tyler Beskarowani. And overwhelmingly, and I think it's by over 50% of the vote, went to Scott Conway, number 10 for your Belfast Giants. Davey, quick word. Statistically, I think this is a great shout.
Yeah, look, I think the four guys on screen had good end of September's, October's. Conway, obviously, leading the team in face-offs, leading the team in goals, leading the team in assists, points. He's been really, really good since he's came in there. And we've needed that leadership and that line of Goodwin and Pickenich and Conway really have led the way, and led by Conway himself. So happy enough, delighted for him to lift the big award. I've seen he won the Elite League Player of the Month as well. But
yeah, the minor one
is the big one. So congratulations to him for that.
Coach, you commentated on that shorthanded goal, that lovely goal at the start of the game on Sunday. But Conway's really shown himself to be a real asset to the Belfast Giants.
Yeah, massively. So great pickup by Kiefer and Thorts in the summer. Just laughing that you and I stood in this storm shelter with this woman ringing a cowbell the whole 60 minutes, and then we get pulled towards the latter part of the third period. It was Scott Conway's mum ringing the cowbell the whole game. But he's been a great pickup. Lovely shorthanded goal, as you say, on Sunday. He's one of those guys as well that you notice out in the ice. You see, I referenced it on Sunday. That's first time, second time I've seen the guys live this season. But like Jordan Boucher, you notice him out there. Feet are always moving, skating really hard. He's been a fantastic pickup. As David said, he's leading the way right across all of the stats. So an amazing pickup so far this season.
Congratulations to Scott Cameron. I've written on my sheet here, like an Egypt.
It's a few years ago, mate.
Congratulations to Scott Conway with 51% of the vote, winning October's A View from the Bridge Player of the Month, sponsored by Phonacab. But obviously, we weren't, due to COVID restrictions and the like, we weren't able to give him the trophy on the ice that we normally do, but we will get it to him and we'll get a few comments from him. Right. Let's go on to the fan agenda, brought to you by our friends at Belfast Giants TV, and a man who's back behind the bench on Sunday with your Belfast Giants. Delighted once again to welcome on to A View from the Bridge, the head coach of your Belfast Giants, of course, that is Adam Keefe. How are you doing, coach?
Not bad. How are you guys doing?
All good. How are you feeling, mate?
Very best.
Good, good. How do you feel to be back on the bench on Sunday?
Yeah, it was good to be back. I think I was getting sick of watching it from the TV, especially after Saturday night's game. I would say that the weekend prior to that was actually enjoyable to watch. But I think, you know, I was ready to get back at it and get involved. I think that, you know, it's one thing to cheer on the team from the outside, but it's another to be right there in the thick of it on the ice or on the bench. And certainly, you know, I was back in my comfort zone on Sunday.
Coach, we've been talking, excuse me, we've been talking about the couple of games from the weekend and even going into the weekend before. How frustrating is it, this the kind of lack of consistency? You can go to Panthers, win 5-0, and maybe just come to Sheffield then and get blew out by a sort of similar scoreline.
Yeah, it is frustrating, you know, and that's our job as coaching staff and the leadership group of this team to kind of figure that out and get the reins on the consistency issue. You know, and it needs to start in our practices, and we need to start there and work our way towards the weekend so that when we get to the weekend, we feel good about ourselves and what we did throughout the week, and we're going to get rewarded on the weekend for it. And, you know, from then, it's, you know, it's got to come from the group. I mean, we need to be competitive every night. This is a competitive league, and if you don't turn up, you don't put forth the effort, or even if you don't start on time, you know, if you just kind of try and ease your way into the game, you find yourself down 5-1 at the end of the first period. So, you know, we need to make sure that we're ready to go from the drop of the puck every night, and put ourselves in good positions, you know, to lead games, because it's a completely different game when you're chasing a game, whether it's, you know, down 5-1 or whether it's down 3-0 or 2-0 or even 1-0. You know, it changes the style of the play for both teams playing from the front or from the back. And I think that, you know, you've seen from the times that we've played from the front, we're a pretty good hockey team. You know, it's the times when we're chasing the game where it can get pretty stressful. And so we certainly want to work on our starts, and we want to work on obviously finishing our chances, because we're certainly getting a lot of chances. You go right back to the Cardiff game. First period, I felt we had an abundance of chances, scoring chances, you know, to get ahead in that game. And they get one at the end of the period, probably against the run of play. And now we're chasing the game for the rest of the game.
You talked about it there in your post-match interview, and we spoke about it about 5 minutes ago there, about executing. And you'll have seen the numbers yourself over the last number of weeks. And we are creating plenty of grade A chances. We're creating plenty of opportunities. The Clan obviously lay down in front of a lot of shots on the weekend, but how do you work on that execution? We are creating, but we're just not finishing.
Yeah, again, something needs to start in practice. I mean, it needs to be focused. It needs to be, you know, we're not just going down for another rep in practice. We're going down to shoot to score, and we're going to finish rebounds, and we're gonna practice with intensity, because when it gets to a game, all of a sudden, you know, you're losing a second or two on the puck, and you know you don't have that extra second to really get your head up and pick a spot on the goalie. It's about getting your shot off fast and practicing like you play, because and it's not just, you know, it needs to be a team buy-in thing, and that makes us compete against each other. That means when you get to the games, you know, you are playing at that type of speed. So, you know, again, that's something the coaching staff really needs to harp on for these next few practices here to lead up, because obviously we're going into a tough building in Dundee against a very competitive team that if we don't turn up, you know, it'll be a long night as well. So we need to put in the work and get ready to go.
Kiefer, you know me well enough. I'm an old school hockey fan, hence why my adoration for you as a player. People like Jason Ruff, Paxton Schulte, Pat Bateman and such like over the years, those kind of sandpaper guys as well as people that could put up points. We're talking earlier on in the show there just about, I certainly feel like my summation, I've watched all the Giants games home and away so far. The team look like, certainly on paper, and what we've seen on the ice, even in defeat in the likes of Cardiff, I thought we were superb that night. But maybe one of the things that like my observation would be that Do we have that sandpaper? Do we have that spark in us that, you know, sometimes in a hockey game you do need, whether it be a fight or whether it be a monumental shift of blocking shots and just getting energy into the bench, et cetera, et cetera. Is that a fair summation in some way, or is that in any way a frustration for you, or is it a completely invalid kind of observation?
No, it's very valid. I think, it's something that we're continuously working on here, is that, it's not, the league and hockey is changing in a sense of, going the, I guess, the more skilled speed route, like the rest of hockey is. So certainly you do lose an element of physicality and sandpaper, I guess you could say, from that. But, the way that we look at our team is we need to find that team toughness that, and that's not fighting, that's sometimes, like you just said, they're blocking a big shot. It's competing. It's playing with intensity. It's backing each other up. It's going down. Maybe instead of trying to stick handle your way into the zone, you're chipping in, you're finishing the check. Those are the little things that change a game and change the momentum and change, you can feel it from behind the bench, I think, even more so than when you're on the bench as a player. That's one of the main things I notice as a coach, is you can feel the momentum shift in a game a little bit more as a coach. And I'm sure it's the same for the fan base. You can start to feel, when the pressure's coming on your team, whereas as a player, sometimes you're really wrapped up in your own play and, keep making sure you're recovering on the bench to get ready for your next shift. You're not really paying attention to maybe some of the things that are happening for the few minutes before you get on the ice. So, we are looking for, that team buy-in, where we want a team that's, when we feel the momentum is shifting, that we find a way to turn it around quickly, because you can really feel it happening, and we need to nip it in the butt right away. Otherwise, obviously, you do get into a situation where you could go down one, maybe two quick ones, and then all of a sudden now you're really chasing that game. So it really is about that team toughness, that team intensity level that we need to raise, obviously, and especially in those tight games where we find ourselves from chasing the game, you need to get back into that game, and that is exactly what we're speaking about, is that intensity level needs to rise. We need to do something to change the course of the game, and whatever that may be, whether, like you said, it's a hit, a fight, a block shot, a good shift, a good momentum shift, ozone possession, anything like that can really change the game around.
As the nature of this section, Coach, we've got a few questions coming from the guys on Twitter, some of the fan questions. Johnny Baxter, on the back of what you said, actually, Johnny Baxter asking, has there ever been a time this season when you thought, if I was on the ice?
I think that a lot, but I always need to bring myself back down to reality, and you wouldn't want me on the ice these days. Those days are far removed. 4 years off is taking its toll.
One from Ryan says, is there a non-Giants Elite League team whose recruitment has impressed you this season?
I wouldn't say like recruitment has impressed me. I mean, I think it's a very competitive league. From top to bottom, I think obviously, we've obviously played Dundee a lot, and very competitive team, play really hard. Every game's going to be physical, going to be competitive. Obviously, the teams that we've just seen there, obviously Sheffield has put together another team that has a lot of firepower. So, it's about shutting out that team down and playing solid defensively, and then obviously taking our chances when we get them. So, I can only speak for some of the teams that we have played. Obviously there's a few that we haven't played yet. Like I said, nobody overly impresses me with the recruitment. I just think that it's a solid across the board, this league, and I think that you can see that from the results so far, and I think that that's going to be exciting for the fan base, and obviously we need to do our part to be there in the mix.
Let's bring it back to this weekend. Coach, obviously just the one game with the Clan game dropping out. We've had a good few looks at Dundee already this season. Is there anything in particular you need to be looking at for this weekend coming?
Well, I think we're going to take a look at our own game first and foremost. I think that's the biggest thing right now. I think, we think we've gotten away from some of the things that we stressed at the start of the year, and we need to get back to doing those things, you know, things that we felt was making us a real competitive team and really a possession team that was controlling the majority of the game. I think we've gotten away from that maybe since we had a few injuries. I think when you get the injuries, all of a sudden, sometimes things change just because you're almost in survival mode when you're down. You know, I think we were down four bodies at one point. So, you know, you're playing hard, but you're also playing fatigued. Whereas right now, you know, we're at full strength. There's no excuses out there. You know, we need to be playing at an extremely high pace and bringing the pace to the hockey game, not trying to match the pace of the other team. We want to be bringing the pace to the teams.
Kiefer, I have to ask you, I watched it whenever it first went live, the Amazon Prime documentary with your brother and obviously the Toronto Maple Leafs, watched it all in one day. Thought it was absolutely superb. Love those fly-on-the-wall documentaries. Obviously had a keener look at it, not just because Kyle Dubas is a Man City fan, but also because of Sheldon. What was your take on that? Obviously, I listened to the TSN Overdrive podcast every day, and Sheldon was on with Jeff O'Neill, Jimmy Noodles McLean, and Brian Hayes, and they were all taking the mick out of him for his language throughout the course of the documentary. But they also kind of said that they were somewhat surprised at how tough he was with the players as well. And, you know, he was very forthright and very clear in his communication as to his expectations. You obviously continue to speak with him, but like, what did you learn anything more out of that documentary that you maybe didn't think that's my brother, or you were surprised in some way, or do you continue to kind of pick, you know, various different tactics, et cetera, off Sheldon?
I think if you had asked me that question a long time ago, but when you really first started coaching, I probably would have said, no, I wasn't aware that he can be that intense. But, you know, I have obviously watched him coach from juniors on, so I'm well aware of how intense he can be. You know, that's just his passion. You know, he's a passionate coach. He was a passionate player, so you shouldn't really be that surprised. You know, he was obviously a player that put up a lot of points, but, you know, if you really watched his game, he was a guy that left everything on the ice and played physical, fought when he had to, hit everything in sight. You know, he was a guy that played with passion. So it makes full sense that he's a passionate coach. And that's really where I think he finds his success is the passion that he brings to the team. You know, it's contagious. And, you know, so, you know, obviously I'm not too surprised that when I was watching that some of the reactions, obviously, you know, some of the swearing and stuff like that, you know, it is a TV show, and they're going to pick the moments that are highly dramatized. So I think we got to see those parts of the season, and we didn't really get to see the ones where maybe it was a little bit more mellow.
Which actually just one question from Alan Brett on Twitter on that note is, who swears more, you or your brother in the dressing room?
If you went by the documentary, you'd have to say him, but... I'm trying to work on it. I'm sure he is as well. But so like I said, when you get in the heat of the moment, sometimes that passion takes over and you're not too worried about the odd F-bomb here or there.
Dicko actually said to me on webcast on Sunday, he's been very pleasantly surprised with how calm you are in comparison to what you were like on the ice, how calm you are in the locker room.
Yeah, well... he must not be in the locker room too much. I am trying to stay a little bit more composed. You know, it's one thing you have to channel that passion. You can't always show it and always use it. It becomes falls on deaf ears. And also, you know, you as a coach, you are a leader on that bench. And, you know, there's times when things are getting hairy out there on the ice where you need to show your composure and you need to keep the guys composed. And, you know, I haven't been the greatest at that to start my coaching career. So, you know, I certainly, something that I do want to learn to control a little better is use that passion, use that intensity at the right times.
And just finally, Coach, just to wrap it up, you know, obviously it was just the one game this weekend against the Dundee Stars away. With that game against the Clan dropping and moving all the way to March, is that a positive for you? Could you use that day, or is it just a day's rest for the boys?
I wouldn't say it's a positive, you know. One day a week, one game a week is unorthodox for hockey. So I wouldn't say it's a positive because it will obviously be a Tuesday game that we're going to have to make up. So not a positive, but, you know, it is what it is. Obviously, it's an unfortunate situation for them, and just happy that they've ironed out their issues with the arena and are back full time, and that's only great for the league and great for the fan base there in Glasgow. Always fun going to play there. It's always a tough building to win in. So, it's a Tuesday that we'll have to go in and be professionals and get the job done.
Okay. Listen, Coach, we really appreciate you coming on as always. Thanks for your time and good luck this weekend.
No problem, guys. Thanks for having me.
Thank you, Coach.
Big thanks to Adam Keefe once again for coming on and joining us on the fan agenda. We're going to mix things up a little bit. Normally, we'd move on to the news. We're going to pause the news for now because we've got another guest waiting in the wings. And he's been waving at us. He's been making all sorts of hand gestures. He's been trying to wind people up. That's fine. The game this weekend, as has been mentioned, is the game away to the Dundee Stars at Dundee Ice Arena at 5 p.m. and it is live on Premier Sports.
Good evening, hockey fans. We're at the
Please welcome the head coach of the Dundee Stars. That's Omar Pasha. Hey, good evening, Omar. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. I know Neil had to shave.
Neil had to shave?
Yeah, I had too many grey whiskers.
And he's nicely branded as well. He knows if he had to come on here without his Dundee Stars branding, I would have had a word in his ear as well.
It's a big TV game, so we got to get all the Belfast fans to watch it.
Pash, you know, it's been a tough weekend for you. You had the overtime loss in Nottingham and then a difficult game in Coventry. You're looking to bounce back this weekend. What were your thoughts on how you played last weekend?
Yeah, it was a weird weekend. I mean, we played a solid road game against Nottingham. I thought, you know, it was a good start by us. We were able to get the lead. And you know what, maybe on a different night, you know, it's 2 points goes to us, but I like the way overall we played that game. We seem to play Nottingham twice now. It's been two really tight games. Unfortunately, went on the other side, and on Sunday it was a disappointing night for our guys. As a group, I think we all expected a bit better, but I think it's the nature of the game right now. There's a lot of inconsistency everywhere, and our team is challenging with that right now. We're trying to bring that consistency every day. It's unfortunate, you know, like every team, we're dealing with a lot of personnel, injuries and whatnot, but this league all has them, so we're hoping to bounce back big this weekend, and it's a big test for our guys.
Pash, we had Adam Keefe on just before you there, and we were talking about inconsistencies within the Belfast Giants' own game, and you've talked about it yourself, your own team, and all the teams around the league seem to be, we went and beat Panthers 5-0, and I think they've gone and beat Cardiff 2-0 the following night. There just seems to be no real rhyme or reason. Are you frustrated with that, or is that something you've just got to work on every single day in practice?
It can be frustrated because, in some ways it's because you believe in the group, right? So, when you have that higher expectations of your group, you would hope that, we're able to find that night in and night out. And it just seems like we're, really good one night and, we struggle the next night. Unfortunately now we've had a lot of road games and we're dealing with, a lot of changes in the lineup week by week, but the overall group, it's finding our way a bit on the road, because similar to Belfast, I had a look before I came on, they played a lot of away games as well. And you can see the away form everywhere. Coming to Scotland is not going to be easy for any team, right? So, you go to England and that's the only disappointing thing for me. The big disappointment was, we stayed in England, I guess, that night. So it's something that I'm sure all teams are concerned. We're certainly concerned right now, but it's not something that the group is you know, it's a good challenge for us early on this year to find that game, to find that consistency, and to know that every single game, I think you guys are well aware, there's no easy games. And for us, we always have to be the hardest working team to give ourselves a chance to win.
Leposh, you and I speak all the time. I'm one of the players that has really stood out to me, and I know I'm an old school hockey fan, but one of the players that stood out to me is Big Haas that you brought in this year. And he really does like play with an edge. We've seen it in Belfast. I remember watching one of the webcasts and Big Sizz was on commentary going apoplectic that nobody was kind of standing up because Haas was challenging the bench and so on and so forth. What has he kind of brought to your team? Because we have often talked about, you know, whenever you're constructing your team, what are you looking for? And whether it be whenever we were in Manchester or obviously since you moved to Dundee and you're pulling together your roster, this is what the ethos of this team is going to be. And I know we brought Eric Nielsen into Manchester, but still, like at that time before obviously he came in, you were kind of semi-anti that big physical presence. You wanted speed, speed, speed. But whenever we brought Neiler in, he was great for us, more so as a brand and off the ice. But someone like Haas has really come in and really stamped his authority on. He's created a bit of an impression around the league. How's he fitted in Dundee with you, with the team, and what's kind of the word in the street around the league about him as well?
Well, Kyle, you know what? He's such an important player for this team on the ice and off the ice. He's a great human being, and you know, comes from a good family, good background, and you know, he was a captain. He was a captain for many years too. So you know, he has that ability to be a good leader in some ways. But I think everybody kind of forgets that, you know, he's impressed me as a player, and he's been hard to play against. I truly think, you know, he's been probably one, if not our most consistent player all year, because you kind of know what to expect every night. He's going to play hard. He's going to be physical. And that's something that, you know, throughout, you know, the long off season, I guess, is something that I really wanted to pinpoint to add to our lineup. Now, the unfortunate thing for Kyle is right now, and a bit with our other defensemen, is some games we're playing with four defensemen, other games we're playing with five. So again, that toughness, even though he's bringing it every night, I think he's going to bring even more when we're going to go back to six, which we've not had one game at six defensemen all year. So I'm really excited to see that, how he's going to perform on a full energy every not going on every other shift. But so far he's been physical. He's moving the puck good. He's joining the rush when he has to. And he's a guy that, you know, we're hoping that players will play bigger around him. But again, it's as a defenseman, when you're logging those minutes, I know he likes maybe the odd scrap here and there, but for now being like, he's an important asset for our team, and that will come. Obviously that's part of the game, you know, and even in today's age, there is, you know, things that happen on the ice. And I just think he adds that presence to our lineup. And for us, he's been a great asset for our team, for our decor. And like I said, we'll know even more about what he brings when we have the full decor and the full team. So, but so far, he's been a really, really impressed me. And like I said, I think our most consistent player.
Paish, this is the...
And Davey, there you go. Sorry to cut you off. And Davey, when you talked about consistency, that's what we all look for. So he's been a great asset for that.
Yep. Fair point. This is the 147th matchup between our two sides this season. what sort of attitude do you give from that familiarity between these two sides? You know, do you go into this game thinking you know the Belfast Giants, or do you go in thinking you don't know who you're going to be playing each and every night?
Well, again, you nailed it on the head. We've played them a lot of times, so we kind of know each other now. The tendencies, you know, their play, you know, what can we do to give ourselves the best chance to win the hockey game? So for us, I mean, listen, you know, there is a bit of a spicy play, but because it's both teams play extremely hard. But for me, I've said it to obviously to Ross, and I think I've even said it to you guys. I've been majorly impressed with Belfast as a team. I think they work hard. They have a lot of skill up front. And again, I'm just talking about the games we played, but even in the pre-scout, you can see it. So if I would be a Belfast Giants fan, I'm sure that that everybody would be excited for this team. And for us, we just got to play our way and play hard and play like the few times we played them. And that will give us a good chance to win too.
Just building off that really quickly, you know, you're talking about the Giants here. I remember you phoning me one day whenever you were doing a pre-scout and you were talking about how impressive the likes of Griffin Reinhardt is, his skating ability and all the rest. He's a real standout player, eh?
Yeah, I mean, again, you have players on their team. And again, there's players on our team that I'm sure the other coaches are impressed with. And for us, again, we looked at a lot of things when what Belfast did. And I really liked how, to be fair, the four games against Belfast, if you look back now, besides maybe the first period away and maybe the third period out of home in the first game and where we were a bit short, other than that, I think we play them really evenly and it's anybody's game. So for us, we just want to create that competitiveness and to make it hard on them to be physical in certain aspects and to use our speed in other aspects. And for Belfast, obviously a guy like Reinhardt, you know, I think you guys have all seen it, his skating ability for his size and, you know, his pedigree and whatnot. And no, there's a lot of good players on that team and there's a lot of good players in this league. So you just got to make sure, you know, you're aware of them on the ice.
Pash, let's talk about targets. You probably have, back in the summer when you're assembling your roster, you've probably got some short and long-term targets that you, I assume you just rejig them on the fly. You're now a month into the season, qualified for the next phase of the Challenge Cup after knocking one team out with how many games it took to knock one team out. But you know, qualified for the next phase, you'll be looking to climb the league. Do you set small targets? Do you have a big target? Where are you looking at the minute? What's your next month look like?
Well, right now it's game by game, and it's more about finding our consistency because we like every team we talked about, one game we're playing the right way, and we had a bit of consistency at the start of the season, but we had trouble finding the net a bit, and that's where we have to come back and play that way. Whilst we create more chances, and then eventually the tide will turn and you'll score goals. So we got to get back to doing that every single night. But as a target, I mean, listen, there's no secret. I mean, you got teams that, you know, you want to finish in the top eight, but you also want to challenge this group to get as many points as possible. You know, we've had a schedule that, you know, had a lot of road games. And for me, those sometimes are very important that you grab some. And unfortunately for now, we got a big game on Saturday against the Storm away at the Shelter. Neil knows that place really well.
The Drizzle Dome,
yeah. So we're really focusing, for example, on that game first, because first game of the weekend and try to build in some consistency and hopefully some confidence going into Sunday. So for the time being, I mean, we're going game by game and focusing on our game and the targets, you know, points and whatnot. I think that will come a bit later. Not that every game matters right now, because the game on Saturday will be massive for us in Manchester. But again, it's just finding our way, finding our consistency. And again, to be fair, it's hopefully we can try to stay healthy as possible, because you know, when you're playing that this short, and every team will say it. Kiefer just said, I think a few minutes ago, he was missing four players at one point. So it's hard to almost put a full judgment on the team. So I'm really looking forward this weekend. We're most likely going to get one player back that was out for a while. So hopefully we'll see a bit more of our decor there, how they adjust to playing six.
Taking the conversation off the ice, if you like, how pleased are you with what you've done with the organization since you've came into Dundee? Obviously crowds are up, better product for us watching on the ice for sure. Are you enjoying that side of the aspect of the of
yeah
the-
I love this side, and you know, I've learned a lot from
don't worry, this bit I taught you what I could, but I couldn't leave it to anybody else.
He was a proud founder, I guess, of this, so I'll call him like you call him, Coach. So I had the privilege to work with Coach for a number of years, and you know, I always had a business mind myself, but I think it was something of an eye opener to see and to learn from Neil. And so I grabbed that passion as well. And when I came to Dundee, you know, working with, you know, the Warwick family, and they kind of, you know, will help me, you know, put the confidence in myself and have confidence in me to kind of, you know, lead from the front. And I was still fortunate to this day they were able to do that. And no, I'm proud of the organization, from our, you know, commercial manager to, I know sometimes, you know, I'll call them the Ward family, but one in particular doesn't want to get mentioned, but the off-ice stuff that he does, you know, in the background, our secretary, which is a part owner, Debbie, which she does a fabulous job. And, you know, everybody around the club that helps so much. So we're proud right now that, you know, off the ice, things are going well, because, you know, you look at the attendance at the start of the year, we're up 20% from what we were a few years back. And you look around the league, you look around the NHL, you look around a lot of indoor events, you know, we're right up there with growth. So I think, you know, talk about them. Look at, you guys have the podcast here. Stars TV has been incredible, and to say the least, you know, they're ready to do whatever, whenever. And, you know, just the video we did 2 weeks ago, I'm sure you guys seen Squid Game video. I mean, I know Wayne didn't sleep for like 5 days doing that. So, you know, there's a full buy-in here off the ice, and the players are aware of that. And that's why I'm sure, and I know they really want to do well. So once the product is consistent on the ice, you know, we'll have hopefully more sellouts at the DIA.
Ash, we'll get you out on this last question. I already know the answer to it, but I think our listeners would be really keen. I mean, you know, you reference like your hockey career and all the rest, but genuinely, who's the best general manager you've ever worked for in your career?
I would say Neil Russell, but nobody would know. It's Coach Russell. Coach
Russell. Good evening, hockey fans.
Are you doing the commentary on? No, yeah, we're at home. Yeah,
it's a home game.
Weren't you guys supposed to play Saturday?
We were supposed to play the Glasgow Clan, but that's been moved to March.
Oh yeah. I saw that earlier. So
yeah.
Oh well, one game weekend indeed.
And that game is on Sunday, 5 PM, and it is live on Premier Sports from the Dundee Ice Arena. Pash, thanks very much for your time.
Let's get at her.
That's it. You're home for hockey.
That's it.
Thanks for your time, Pash.
What time does the Liga start?
I don't have that on the soundboard. I thought I had it.
Next time.
Thanks for your time, Pash. Oh, kind of off there too early. He's gone. Bye, Pash. Thanks. Adios. Thanks for your time. Always good to have him. Great to have both Omar Pasha and Adam Keefe on the show. As I say, that game is at 5 PM on Premier Sports. Dundee Stars against the Belfast Giants on Sunday. We're going to round up with a bit of the news. We mentioned it there that this Saturday's rearranged fixture away to the Glasgow Clan has been moved to Tuesday, the 29th of March of 2022 at 7 PM at Brayhead Arena. And speaking of Brayhead, Gareth Chalmers of the Clan and director of Glasgow Arena Limited have this week signed a 20-year lease of the Brayhead Arena that secures top-flight hockey in that venue. It'll also be continued use as a multi-purpose arena. However, it'll also see public skating at the venue under the new heading Brayhead Ice Centre. It was mentioned there, Coach, putting your former GM's hat on and the work that Gareth's done and how the importance of getting that sort of tie into the arena for securing top-flight hockey in Glasgow is second to none.
Yeah, I had a half an hour conversation actually with Freddie Black on Saturday morning en route to Old Trafford, and he was talking about the announcement that was coming out later on that afternoon, and just was going into granular detail about the complexities of getting that deal over the line. And it was a long time in the making, a lot of backwards and forwards, but the Black family are absolutely delighted, as of course Gareth is as well, in getting the deal signed, sealed, delivered. Long-term future of ice hockey in Glasgow is now secure, which is fantastic news. I have to say, I think actually the Glasgow Clan, formerly Brayhead Clan, they're they're in many ways like the perfect kind of organization in the Elite League in terms of, I think, the size of their arena. You know, I love going into Brayheads, whatever it is, 3,500, 4,000. They pack it on a regular basis. It's good atmosphere inside there. They generally had a strong hockey team to watch, so the product's been good. I think it's, you know, okay, it's maybe not central Glasgow, but it's obviously within a large shopping centre, and the crowds have always been generally very, very strong. And I think, you know, the Blacks and Gareth are obviously, and Jerry McLaughlin and co are looking to build on that as the years roll by. And I think the deal that's been signed there gives them a real strong portfolio now. They're in charge of the arena. To your point, they'll be skating there. There'll be numerous different shows. So they'll be turning a bit like Killer in Cardiff, eh? You know, he's got to fill that barn, whether it be with UFC events outside of hockey and whatever the hell it may well be in terms of events over the course of, it can't just be a big white elephant. It's a good opportunity for them. But, you know, I think, you know, from speaking to Freddie at a high level, certainly, they're very keen just to make sure that they get the ice side of things sorted first and foremost, make sure that that's an entertaining product. Everything operationally is delivered incredibly well. And then they'll look to kind of obviously to build out from there. So, yeah, more part of their elbow. Well done to the Blacks and to Gareth. And I'm sure they've been incredibly incredibly busy and ultimately very relieved that it's managed to get done.
Davey, on that, you know, I think Brayhead or Glasgow as they are now, of course, you know, from in that progression, I've been trying to gain, not to pull himself away from the shadow of the likes of the Ayr Scottish Eagles. I think that's just of its time, but trying to develop their own sort of identity. And I think that's now coming. And these links to the arena are only going to strengthen that.
Well, yeah, they, as coaches talked about the Blacks and the job that Gareth and et cetera have done, they've now solidified that they have got a 20-year plan and they need to start translating that into banners, you know, hanging from the rafters. They have to start becoming a winning franchise. It's all well and good being the best team in Scotland or whatever and having these 3,500, 4,000 crowds, really good fan base that travel really well. They need to start converting that into trophy success. And, you know, who's not to say that this year mightn't be a good year for them? It's going to be difficult for them cramming an extra month of fixtures into the same length of time that everybody else is having. 8 months, they've got seven, whatever. But they looked okay and what they started with on Sunday. So, you know, it's the future looks bright for them up there, that's for sure.
Looking at a few of the scores across the league this weekend, a tough weekend, as we just discussed, on the road for the Stars with an OT loss in Nottingham and a 5-1 defeat in Coventry. Flames took the spoils on Premier Sports in the trip to the Drizzle Dome with a 6-2 victory over the Storm, who subsequently parted ways with former giant Liam Morgan. Flames then hosted the Steelers on Sunday, only for the game to be a 0-0 at 60 minutes, and Dane Todd took the overtime spoils for the visitors. The real shock of the weekend, however, came in Kirkcaldy as the Devils, hot off the heels of a 2-1 defeat to the Blaze in the Cup at home, went up to Kirkcaldy and were soundly beaten 3-1 by Todd Doodium's Fife Flyers. Matt Carter rounding the scoring in the empty net and taking the points, Davey. Didn't see it coming.
We've talked to Adam Keefe, the past coaches spoke about it, I've spoke about it, you spoke about it. The consistency in this league at this stage of the early season is all over the place. One team can go and rinse a team one night and get beat themselves handsomely, as we talked about, going and hammering the Panthers, and then they go in the next. Not all trouble in paradise there. You know, I've seen a lot on Twitter, what a few fans throwing their season tickets back into the card of play.
Always happens.
You love to see it.
Things you love to see, coach. Yes, you know the meltdown.
I think he'll be throwing his reverse baseball cap in the river as well, eh?
yes, Cardiff Devils burning their season tickets before the Halloween decorations are down. So good to see,
coach. It didn't seem like the consistency is that, but we've talked about Fife and but then they have taken these results.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Storm saw it just a week or so ago.
Fife have had a tough start of the season. I mean, Coach Scaldy, Killer will definitely not be happy with that result. Totally unexpected. And I think to Davey's point, you sometimes pick up little musings, don't you, around the place. But, you know, you just wonder whether everything is A-OK there in Cardiff. And, you know, listen, it's probably the first time that I can recall in the last quite a few seasons where they might have failed to face a tiny bit of adversity or a bit of pushback from their fan base. And it's only been a couple of results that they've tripped up on. And to our discussion throughout the course of the podcast, that there's been inconsistency right across the board. It's not just the Cardiff Devils have been inconsistent or the Belfast End. It's been numerous teams. But knowing Killer the way we all know Killer, he does not accept mediocrity at all. And if there's, and he's certainly not a man that's been known to sack players and kick them back across the Atlantic. But he won't be shy of making a move. I can assure you of that. And if the market is there, and if the on ice performances dictate that a change is required, Killer won't be shy of pulling the trigger on it.
Also, maybe a few distractions on the bench coming from a North America direction that maybe if news in the last couple of days will settle that. That's a story we are not touching with a barge pole. Like I say, tough weekend for the Devils, and that 2-1 defeat as well against the Blaze, which leads us into...
Yep.
Dops. There was a...
Dops.
A Dops issue from that game between Cardiff and the Coventry Blaze. Nathaniel Halbert has been assessed a one-game... Nathaniel Halbert has been assessed a one-game boarding suspension. Five-plus game was called on the night. Have you, gents, seen this?
Yep.
What do you think, David? You go for it.
I'm okay with it. I think it's a bit of roughhousing, and it maybe crosses the line to give him the boarding penalty on the night, five-minute boarding penalty, two-minute minor even. Maybe I don't think there's enough there to suspend him for a game, to be quite honest with you.
There's a bit of manhandling.
I think it's naughty, boys. I mean, that is naughty. I mean, he's got him by the scruff of the neck. Just watch him here. Swings around.
For those watching on YouTube.
To the neck and literally throws him like head, well, back of the head first into the boards. That's not good. And I thought that suspension for the other Coventry defenseman last week, I thought it was a horrendous decision from Dobbs. I thought it was a freaking great hit. Interference, fair enough. Give him whatever the rule book says on the interference, but that was never a suspension. This, for me, I think he knows exactly what he's doing. It's a bit naughty there, mate.
Go on, David.
He could let go there. Could let go, but he keeps hold of him and drives him right into that Nissan sign. Naughty.
Well done. Why would you say it's not, David?
Well, here we go. We're getting new information here. He suffered an injury in the play, so...
That seems to be the way of it as well. It's like if there are injuries, this has
to be factored in. I still don't think it's that bad, to be quite honest.
You'd be going apoplectic, mate. If Kyle Haas grabs Jordan Boucher on Saturday night and does that, yeah, okay, maybe it's not a fair even comparison, 6'6".
But here, one point on that, and our good friend Omar Pash is saying there, you know, they're playing with 4D.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody go sacrifice themselves.
Yeah.
You know, take a D-man, take Kyle Haas out of the game for 5 minutes, three times if you have to during the game.
Yeah.
Play against 3D.
It comes out. So
it's very harsh suspension, Paddy, personally.
Finally, congratulations to Kel Beattie, who registered his first points in Solway this weekend on the power play, I believe, as well. It also prompted these words from Solway head coach Martin Grubb.
I think the last time we talked about Kel Beattie, last night we had Dundee here, they had the Hamill twins. The Belfast junior system is obviously starting to produce fruits now. We obviously, you're getting Kel, Dundee are using the Hamills. We had JB hat on as well. It's going to be a fruitful avenue in the future, the Belfast system.
It's good to see, obviously, the Giants and Rob Stewart have been working away quite quietly doing their thing. And I think we get lucky because with Jamie Thompson being my assistant coach, being the head coach in the Scotland 17s, he gets to see some of these kids coming through. And obviously I get that with the GB side of things. Yeah, as you say, Kel's done really well for us. I thought he made a nice play and he got a nice assist in the power play tonight. He's just grown into it. I think the Hamels will probably be the same. It's their first taste of senior hockey. They've also got Max Stewart, who seems to be doing a great job in Leeds. So waiting for Belfast. It's great for them, it's great for British hockey. It's a Scottish conference, I guess, that's where they play, so it's good for them. And I'm led to believe there's quite a few more coming through there, so I mean, they'll be one to keep an eye on. And I guess from purely Sharks' point of view, we're able to benefit from it. And as you say, from the Great Britain point of view, it doesn't matter where they come from. I guess any eligible youngster, the more the merrier. And obviously there's young players on both teams here tonight that are going to be worth watching for the future, and it can only bode well for our game.
Big thanks to our good friend Craig Simpson at March 74 Sports for that audio. Davey, I'll go to you. Some great comments there, considering, you know, the Hamill twins, you know, Kel Beattie, and I mentioned there for Max Stewart as well, and how the Belfast system is actually, there's some fruits of the labours that are going in there.
Yeah, it's funny, Paddy, that it's kind of taken 20 years of the Giants to start, you know, growing fruit from small trees that have been planted along the way. It's maybe bit poor from us that we didn't do this quicker and find opportunities for these kids, and maybe just it took the Belfast Giants to grow for a certain length of time to get more people playing hockey or whatever. But you know, you've Kel there doing really well for Solway. Mac points for the Leeds Knights. Carter Hamill's over there as well. It's got points for the Leeds Knights in the NIHL. So, you know, I was looking through elite prospects earlier on there, and Max Stewart, 17 years old, 75 kilos. And Carter Hamill, 17, 56 kilos, you know, tiny boy, still to grow into it and doing really, really well already. So as he starts to fill out, look, he's going to be a guy that I can see in a Belfast Giants uniform as well in the years to come. So absolutely fantastic for them. These guys are literally living their dream. And Kel and Mac have managed to pull on the Belfast Giants uniform this year, and Carter and a few others will be hoping to do that as well. So we can only but wish them luck and hope that they represent us someday.
Coach?
Totally agree. I think it's great to see, you know, the work that's gone in with the development system over the course of the years. I mean, looking back, whenever, you know, the Giants formed, really, like, no real infrastructure, certainly no connectivity with the club. I think you look at the work that, like, Stewie and, I don't know whether he's still involved or not, but like Shane Johnson helped out quite a bit there and all the rest with the youth system. I think it's just absolutely fantastic to see, and especially with that connectivity with the club now. And just hopefully, as Martin Grubb said there, hopefully we'll start to see in the coming years like a throughput of Belfast-born players. Like, we're all Belfast boys. We're all incredibly proud. Davey, like, without a shadow of a doubt, is the, you know, Mark the Motria Morris and his hero and all the rest. But I think all of us would be, you know, to see another Wally, Graham Martin, or Gareth Martin, Graham Roberts, etc. See another kind of, I know, people have come through the cycle and started off here and fallen in love with the Giants, been through the Giants structure. I think it'd be cool as well to see another Stewie on the ice. Like, geez, that maybe kind of makes us all feel really old seeing Stewie's son skating out there. I remember I was talking about Stewie at the weekend on the webcast, just alone watching Stewie play the game. I think it's awesome, man, and I think hopefully as we move forward, we see a complete throughput of some really good young players, young local players, and nobody else supporting them better than the Belfast Giants fans, that's for sure.
Yeah, massive well done to Kel, and thanks to the Martin Grubb and to Craig Simpson for those comments and passing them on to us. And it's great to see, like you said, it's great to see these kids coming through, and it's exactly what we do want to see. And it's obviously the investment for coming in and the time we invested by the likes of Rod Stewart and the guys down at the Junior Giants to push these kids on. And, you know, we saw it there the other week with Kel and Mac on the ice for the Belfast Giants, and the pride in the fan base alone, never mind, you know, the pride in his own dad on the bench and the coaching staff of being able to put these lads out there, but the pride, the fan base, to get two lads out there from our own fair city was wonderful, and hopefully we'll get to see more and more of it in the years to come. I think we're just going to wrap it up there. Any other business, gentlemen? Anything?
I don't have anything other than the Kevin Rain, just to keep a tally going. It's up to almost £500 after week 7 of the season. So a few people are going to have to crack their wallets out and start paying, you know, paying their money off as they go along. And the other thing, we got pulled during the week about a pint for a pint bleed tea. Oh, yeah. So maybe for next week you can have a look and see where we're at with that.
I was funny. I saw that, and I'm gonna dig into that for next week's show just to get that up again, because we really appreciate what everybody was doing there, and obviously it got abruptly ended when the season was ended. But needless to say, it's something that should be carrying on, and we'll reinvigorate that and we'll revive that for next week's show. Nothing from you, Coach?
No, nothing for me other than to say thank you both for the extending the kind invitation onto the show this evening. It's rolled back the years. Yeah, it's been, no, obviously, Sizz on the IR and Joel out of Dodge pretending he's busy with work. you know, got the call up, and it's always good to talk hockey with you boys. And as I say, to roll back the years and a bit of old school chat with the three of us again. So it's been great.
It's been good to have you back on, isn't it, Davey?
It's been absolutely brilliant. I've like, what can I say, Coach? You know,
you've been dancing.
As I am, man, aren't you?
I talk about you on the podcast pretty much every week. Anyway, it was I love doing the podcast with Joel. Love doing it with Sizz. Done it with Paddy for many years now. But that the podcast really gave me something when I moved to England, and I'd lost my contact with Belfast. And being involved with the Giants and doing the podcast with you two guys every week kept me a little bit of Belfast in my heart. And like, I'll be forever grateful for you two for doing that with me. And it was just a time in my life where like, it was just brilliant doing it every Tuesday night. And I miss it. I still do the podcast, but I miss this lineup.
Did you ever break your leg?
Do you remember that?
See, you can probably see this.
Oh, for there it
scar.
Is.
For those watching on YouTube, Davey is showing the scar.
Maybe bump.
Do you know, are you getting any advice from Coach Davey on this Bristol job as a GM?
The new planet ice opening.
Couldn't afford you, mate. They couldn't afford you.
Could they not? No.
Nah, I couldn't afford you, man.
You see, but the thing would be, you know, the way when you worked and went and worked for the Manchester Storm, and a bit like Todd Kelman when he went to the Cardiff, you know, you just ditched the Belfast Giants, and it was like Manchester, you know, if Belfast came in, you wanted to beat them.
Supports anyone for a fiver, mate.
It wouldn't matter to me if the Bristol Pitbulls were paying me £1 million if Belfast Giants came in.
Whenever you build something from its genesis, from its infancy, and it's your baby.
I'm building something from its infancy in Bristol the minute that you'll be dying to on opening night. Don't worry about that.
Oh.
It's coming. Right. It's coming. And on that bombshell, big thanks to Adam Keefe, Omar Pasha, the Steelers TV and Giants TV for the footage, and the Elite League for the interviews that we had. And mostly, big thank you to you two gentlemen. It's good to see you, Coach.
Thanks, Director General. Thanks, Paddy. Thanks, Davey.
Good. And Davey, I'll see you again next week.
Yep.
That game this weekend, Dundee versus the Belfast Giants at the DIA, 5 p.m. Get it at your home for, gives you your home for hockey, Coach Gunn.
Your home for hockey.
On Premier Sports. You can get us at AVFTB on Twitter, on Facebook, kingdomofthegiants.com, and then on all your platforms, Apple, Spotify, Google, and now, of course, on YouTube. And wherever you are this weekend, we hope you enjoy your hockey. We'll catch you here next time on A View From...
Podcast Network.